My name is Christina Ferreira. I'm the Special Collections at the University of Miami Libraries. And I will admit that when I was asked to moderate this section, I thought I wrote next to nothing about 3D printing technology. And where you have 3D printing brain, which I'm happy to show all of you when the session's over. It's quite nice. But beyond the advanced applications for what I've read about, very little about this application within the world of special collections. In fact, when I was first sent the title of this session, I thought that the subtitle was Extending Bibliographic Pedagogy to Addictive to Manufacturing. It was making total sense to me because it is addictive once you start reading about it and finding out more about it. Our presenters today will be dealing with the issues of how to harness this technology to for outreach and for better making our collections accessible to a wide public. They will be the best suited people to tell you about the details of the technology. And what I can say, I can actually mention that President Obama, in his 2013 State of the Union address, actually talked specifically about 3D printing. A once shuttered warehouse is now a state of the art lab. New workers are mastering the 3D printing that has the potential to revolutionize the way we make almost everything. There is no reason that can happen in other towns, and it is happening in other towns, and it's happening in libraries. Librarians are always willing to roll up their sleeves and learn about new technology as we know about ourselves. Librarians are with us, and practitioners are trained. Technology in itself is quite complex. It's actually about 30 years old. It was developed at first in the 1980s. I know that Kevin will speak more about this. And interestingly, the person who was kind of the progenitor of it, a Japanese gentleman, Mr. Yoshida, was a patent attorney, but interestingly, forgot to actually apply for a patent and lost his ability to be able to said that privilege went to Charles Chuck Hull, who invented this stereolithography apparatus, SLA, in 1983. He co-founded 3D Systems Corporation, which joined the industry, and then continued to develop the technology in the 1990s and the 2000s. As we know, the machines have gone from prohibitively expensive to affordable, thus making them within the reach not only of large academic institutions, but also public libraries, which has then brought ALA as a professional organization into the fray to discuss issues of liability, like someone who's gone in your library who's liable, to issues of also intellectual property. But I think it's safe to say that in the applications that will be discussed today, intellectual property will come into discussion, and probably no one will scare someone else with punch, we hope. But I will leave it to our speakers to tell you more about this fascinating technology and its developments. We have, Kevin O'Sullivan from Texas A&M University, Marcia McIntosh from the University of North Texas, and Courtney Jacobs, also from the University of North Texas. Thank you.
Christian conference that you gather together in the noble endeavor to teach book history through participation in the allied trades with previous books in the American press period. Thus, the humble beginnings of Texas A&M Book History Workshop has been a successful and growing annual event held every year since. I'm honored to serve as the workshop's third director, and today I will briefly outline the pedagogical practice which has developed in the workshop over the past 16 years, with a specific eye towards the value of experiential learning. The history workshop was created to be a singularly immersive experience. Each morning, participants engage with historical artifacts, books, and tools during a lecture session which will serve to inform the day's work. Apart from the 75-minute classroom experience and the offer for meals and rest down there, the remainder of the day is spent doing. Workshop participants roll up their sleeves, they don their aprons and printer's hats, and engage themselves in the many processes which it took to produce books during the in-press period. They knock out the ink balls, they set, proof, and impose three forms of type. They make their own draft blue paper wrappers, try their hand at paper marbling in three different forms of book illustration, and even play a few rounds of quadrats at our weight scales to the week. The pedagogy culminates in the creation of a full facsimile edition of an 18th century work return on top of pamphlets, which the students actually have for themselves. Finally, what is most relevant to our conversation today, and almost unique to our program, the experiential learning which we are able to offer relating to typography and typecasting. While we have not yet found a way to put a full hands-on module on punch coding into what is already an overly crowded week, as you may guess, we do begin with a demonstration tutorial prior. Then students take up their ready-made punches and start their own matrices. These may transform to a more larger kind of learning form, and insert into one of two adjustable handles. When it comes through, they are now ready to cast type on their own matrix with molten lead alloy. Almost invariably, the final step in the process includes the realization of their type, while beautiful and perhaps maybe, will likely not print on account of how deep they track their matrix as they hammered away at the punch, or perhaps that they held that punch at an angle such that the face of the tape itself and then thus render unusable. Equally invariably, however, this realization is not a visible one, but rather one that is accompanied by wonder, understanding, and my delight of humor as well in the course of the exam. It is what two members of our faculty, Todd Kendleston, who is my predecessor, and Christopher Morrow referred to as empirical bibliography in their article the same name with appearing in this day about 2 years ago, 2015. In it, they cite Henri Macaire, who at the turn of the last century called for a student to experience, quote, all the processes through which the matter of the work before them has passed, from its being written down by the pen of its author to its appearance in the finished body. Eventually, Singleton argued, this kind of category of bibliography constitutes an effort to understand the manner in which a book was constructed through immediate physical experience. As the authors explained, this mode of investigation originates with information contained in the handbook of printing, details extracted from woodcuts or other visual representations of printing houses, and evidence discovered through bibliographical analysis, paired with practical experimentation, oftentimes online. The Book History Workshop, which enrolls 20 students in its annual week-long event, may be the largest comprehensive undertaking in this branch that we are. The ultimate goal of the endeavor is to better prepare students to understand and evaluate the materials of history in the reading rooms and the halls of book fairs from the cataloging queue. With first-hand experience in each of these processes, one knows perhaps why two letters have been inverted on page, or while the C may or may not reflect this work, why should it be more appropriate, or why the signatures are bound in a order within the book exam. Through experience in doing, students also doing it in Palestine, to be bold, to inquire further, to hear deeper, to understand. So now we're going to turn things over to Mark Vito, who will talk about efforts going on up in Denton while we're working on this material.
Educating many people on the book history. You know, the University of Texas Digital Library division was considering expanding its search. The UNT Digital Library division is made up of several small units, a user interface unit, a software development unit, a digital curation unit, and two content creation labs, a digital newspaper lab, and a digital projects lab. Collectively, we support and develop the UNT very exciting for a few reasons. First, Thank you.
sort in these materials. And it's worth stating that I'm able to do what I do and what the faculty and book reviewers have to do, thanks to a considerable amount of effort on the part of Stephen Smith and Stephen Pratt in initially building these tools. It took them years to do. But what does one do? Are you interested in teaching the history on a budget? Or perhaps you want to more effectively instruct your matters related to early tech design and foundry, but not only stress what the human culture has led to an intensity to 500 degrees before the undergraduates and great administrators. I'd like to just say hello to my boss, who ran back. The three have been. It's exact to me. High quality teaching tools in the hands of instructors of book history, or perhaps aspirant instructors of book history, at virtually no cost. We feel that this is vital because, as Courtney mentioned, these concepts can be rather opaque, especially without the aid of visual tools. These are some of the tools from the Book History Workshop conveniently identified for you. Of course, Rail we could use to pour in the lead alloy. There you can see a punch of finished, piece of pipe. A few professionally made nature feeds down there at the bottom right. And then, of course, here is a shot of our toolkit. The toolkit itself comprises the entire Punch Matrix system. Included in this suite, or available to be downloaded individually, are two pieces of a traditional adjustable handle, a cast piece of pipe, another piece of pipe which doesn't can be detached. And then, of course, the punch and the corresponding matrix. So here is represented each link in the chain of typography through which one has access to everything one needs to demonstrate the processes involved in producing a piece of pipe. But in deference to the theme of this year's RBMS conference, I thought that we would begin by we might begin, and this room doesn't have a chalkboard or whiteboard yet, but we'll choose a letter, in this case, we'll say the magical B. If I were teaching this to that room of 40 undergraduates, perhaps I would invite them to come to the front of the class and each write a capital B upon it. Well, I'm not going to ask you all to get up and do it in the interest of time, thank you for being honest. Invariably, however, we all know what B is supposed to look like, right? What that is supposed to look like. But invariably, each looks quite different from one another. You can probably look at them otherwise. To facilitate the ease of 3D printing in our project, and we'll get into this in a moment, the 3D object
Thank you. The reason we started off with 1.1 for Q was because it was smaller. Well, The bad part is that when we take them, And then I heard that someone gets a car, too. So people are going to So that was so informative, and I am completely now wanting to take the workshop for one thing and come to those access. And that said, maybe I'll start with the first question, and that is, given the success of this project and also the overwhelming choice of support by the public at the workshop, does your administration really think it's worthy to fund this project and not make these examples? But I don't want to put you in a difficult position, but I do work with maybe your development people, fundraisers, do you create an endowment? Do you have donors?
Can I just say that this project would not have been possible without the support of our home institutions, but we've made a lot of really great partnerships with the marketing of people at the University of North Texas and doing projects. I think we can only go big from here because we kept this project local. Obviously, we were funding the prints at our own pocket for the time being. I think there is room for growth, possible grant application there somewhere.
But what I do appreciate too is that, you know, this is sort of our first concept for what we hope will be a growing project. Of course, the next step in that is for people to use it and to give feedback and how we can improve and expand it. So perhaps this is the right time. Thinking about the next steps, how other institutions support sort of remodeling and design, but if you consider trying to teach students to create 3D types of print for students. Thank you for your question.
Some tech companies to help them really like want to get behind this tech and maybe associate it with the book collectors that you know, new tech moguls who want to do some of the collect books with the options for this to really. Thank you.
thinking, oh, the enriching borderline is this beautiful for book readers that are starting to learn some of the things. So we'd love to start creating a library thing all about what we can use for book history for bibliography for their books. Great. For these so that the data available would convey color information. structure with the management we talked about. One of my favorites is actually inner employer branding and employer branding. And we're trying to convey that to the independent manager, but we can have the ability to convey that. I also think that thanks to our speakers for a very illuminating